What's happening locally? The news.
And let us take a look, shall we? Our look for this Monday morning. Some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. In the context of the consultation period on the reforms to the Social Security Fund, the CSS law, that began last Thursday, the 14th of November, the Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama, the CCIAP, urges citizens to be active and inform actors on this national debate. In a weekly message, Juan Arias, president of the association, stressed the importance of obtaining information exclusively from reliable sources, emphasizing that misinformation can divert attention from real problems and generate confusion. According to Arias, the impact of these reforms will not only be felt in the short term, but will define the well-being of hundreds of thousands of Panamanians in the years to come. They also stressed the importance of young people closely following the development of the first debate, as it will be a key space to analyse the proposals of the bill. Arias also called on the deputies to base their arguments on reliable data and to maintain a respectful and a constructive dialogue. They acknowledged that differences in approaches to reform are natural, but stressed that they should not distract from the common goal, that's ensuring the future of the CSS. Respectful dialogue and collective commitment are essential tools to overcome this challenge, they mentioned. In addition, they reiterated their commitment to be allies in the process, which is why the CCIAP has organized a series of discussions aimed at both its members and the general public. These meetings aim to provide objective information based on verifiable data, allowing those interested to ask questions and clear up doubts. Anyone who wishes to do so can contact us or come to the CCIAP, said Arias. Consultations on the CSS will resume on Monday, that's today, the 18th of November at 9:30, and that day they plan to serve 32 people. The Social Security Fund, the CSS, has reported that the institution's clinical laboratories are supplied with reagents for the next 3 months at least, which guarantees the completion of the necessary studies for patients nationwide. Ladies Vega, head of reception of the distribution center in Panama City, explained that reagents have been received for immunochemical, serological, bacteriological tests and other studies. Now, these supplies are essential to ensure reliable and timely results both in blood banks and in polyclinics and hospitals. With this delivery, we have optimized the service to users, ensuring the availability of reagents for various essential tests in our facilities, said Vega. Now, reagents are currently being distributed to more than 70 CSS units across the country, and this process will continue until the 12th of December. In addition, specialized products for immunological and molecular tests are expected to arrive in the coming days, which will further strengthen the care provided to insured persons. Through the press release, the CSS highlighted that this supply responds to a priority need to guarantee timely diagnoses in all clinical areas, offering peace of mind to the institution's users. The CSS reaffirmed its commitment to keep the supply chain active and under constant evaluation to avoid interruptions in health services. However, hospitalized patients or those who go to the CSS facilities have faced shortages of reagents in recent months due to a legal dispute between the previous CSS administration, headed by Enrique Lau Cortez, and the supplier company, Promocion Medica S.A., known as ProMed. The Colón Free Zone, CFZ, has recorded up to October an accumulated commercial movement of $21,252 million, a figure that reflects a negative difference of 18%, that's about $4,893 million, compared to the same period last year. The difference in trade flows is in the import sector, which totaled $10,811 billion during the first 12 months of the year, reflecting a considerable decrease compared to the $15.829 billion recorded in the same period last year. The Free Zone explained that the difference in imports, this is purchases, 31% less, is the result of an extraordinary movement recorded in July of 2023 for $4,525 million, corresponding to the entry of raw materials for the production of medicines. As for re-exports, that's sales, they amounted to $10,441 billion up to October, an interannual increase of 1.2%. Now, currently, the Free Zone is focused on increasing its inventory and sales in view of the end-of-year festivities, as reflected in the figures recorded last October. Last month, purchases by companies operating in the Free Zone totaled $1.199 billion, while sales reached $1.384 billion, representing increases of 23% and 40% respectively, compared to the same month last year. Dovi Eisman, president of the Free Trade Zone Users Association, commented that the increase in commercial activity registered in October reflects the preparation of Free Trade Zone companies for the peak holiday season. He explained that the products in greatest demand are clothing, footwear, electronic items and toys, aimed mainly at markets such as Central America, the Caribbean and South America. Based on commercial activity during the first 10 months of the year, Eisman projects that with October's growth, Free Zone users expect a positive close in 2024. However, it was noted that it is essential to work on market and product diversification to ensure long-term sustainable growth. China, the United States and Belgium are the three main suppliers of companies in the Free Zone, with 35%, 21.3% and 3.7% respectively of the value of the merchandise sold in the Cologne area. They are followed by Mexico, 3%, and France at 2.6%. Up to October, merchandise valued at $3.976 billion was imported from China, $2.299 billion from the United States, $402 million from Belgium, while $321 million were purchased in Mexico and $276 million in France, $276 million in France. Regarding re-exports, Venezuela continues to be the main destination for merchandise sold by the Free Zone, despite the interruption in diplomatic relations between their country and the government of Panama, due to the criticism issued regarding the results of the last presidential elections in that South American country. Between January and October, merchandise valued at $962 million was sent to Venezuela, which represented 9.2% of the total value of re-exports. Panama is in second place with 8.8%, that's $916 million, while Costa Rica regained third place with $847 million, equivalent to 8.1% of the value of merchandise sold. Between January and October of 2024, container movement in the Panamanian port system registered 82.9% in transshipment operations, according to data from the Panama Maritime Authority, the AMP. Statistics show that in 10 months of 2024, container movement reached 7,994,636 TEUs. This represents an increase of 15.8%. compared to the figure recorded in the same period of 2023, which reached 6,904,777. Regarding transshipment operations, 6,076,612 were recorded in 2023, while in 2024 the figure rises to 7,127,370. It's worth remembering that transshipment in Panamanian ports is the operation of transferring cargo from one ship to another so that it reaches its final destination in another port. Taking into account the maritime aspects, the AMP highlights that on the Atlantic coast, 58.6% of the total number of containers are moved in TEU units. Now, distribution represents a volume of 4,684,712 TEUs in the Atlantic, while 2,309,924 were registered in the Pacific. These numbers reflect the movement at the terminals of Bocas Fruit Company, Colon Container Terminal, SSA Marine, MIT, Panama Ports Company, Balboa and Cristobal, and PSA Panama International Terminal. Now, a total of 16 water treatment plants are experiencing operational problems or low production as a result of the constant rains in the country caused by the passage of tropical storms Sara and Rafael through the region, which have been hitting the national territory since the 3rd of November, according to the most recent report on the status of the plants from the National Institute of Aqueducts and Sewers, IDAN. Now, according to IDAN's report, of the 59 water treatment plants it manages, 9 are out of operation due to damage to parts, turbines, pumps, electrical panels and other critical equipment, while another 7 are facing difficulties in capturing raw water due to plant sedimentation. The affected plants include Guabito, Almirante and Isla Colón in Bocas del Toro, San Felix, San Francisco, Santa Maria, San Bartolo and Tole, the latter operating at 50%, in Chiriquí, Cañazas and San Francisco in Veraguas, Llano de Piedra in Los Santos Toti in eastern Panama, out of operation, and Pacora and Chepo, which are operating at less than 60%. In western Panama, the El Trapichito plant is operating at 50% of its capacity, while the Isla Toboga plant is operating at 47%. Of the 16 water treatment plants that have operations affected, 7 represent a population of at least 152,000 people. For example, the Almirante water treatment plant supplies water to some 14,706 Panamanians, while the Santa Marta plant supplies water to some 11,000 people. Julicia de Garcia, regional director of IDAN in Los Santos, explained that the Llano de Piedra plant, located in Macaracas, has been affected by the flooding of the Estebania River, which damaged a turbine and a pump. The Los Santos regional office indicated the Llano de Piedra is currently operating, but not at 100% of its capacity. The delivery of a turbine and pump for repair is expected. For the moment, tanker trucks are being used to guarantee the supply of drinking water to the affected population. De Garcia said that the raw water collection area is being thoroughly cleaned to prevent damage from sediment, as well as constant monitoring of weather conditions and equipment. Goes on, in the case of Herrera, the regional director of IDAN, this is Omar Cohen, explained that the water treatment plant with the most damage recorded is the one in Parita, due to the overflow of the Parita River, which flooded and damaged critical equipment. Cohen said that the main damages, which amount to $220,000, includes the electrical panel and the pumping control system. Auxiliary equipment such as the pump and the diesel compressor were completely submerged. He added that the point where water is collected is constantly clogged by sediment and plant matter, which forces production to be stopped for manual cleaning. At the moment, the Herrera Regional Office is working on repairing auxiliary equipment in specialized workshops, including changing filters, oils and damaged parts. In addition, continuous monitoring of production is carried out using macrometers to anticipate drops in flow, as well as manual backwashing in the collection area. This is due to the lack of automated equipment. On Thursday, November the 14th, during an extraordinary Cabinet Council meeting, a state of national emergency was declared in order to address the areas affected by the heavy rains and flooding of the last 2 weeks, as well as the forecast of bad weather for the following days. The state of emergency declared will allow the government of President José Raúl Moreno to make special contracts for goods and services for up to $100 million, with a deadline set for the 15th of January of 2025. And that's it then. There we go. There's our look for this morning. I guess the story could be water, water everywhere, but not a lot to drink. And that's it. Those are some of the items in the local news for you, combined for this morning's programme.